In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to be focusing on entering the womb of the Celestial Father in the Divine Will. This is the whole reason for the Divine Will, is to return back to the womb of the Father. Now that might sound strange when you first hear it, but what God wants is He wants us to participate in what He, the Lord God, wanted from the beginning of time. He wants us to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. He wants us to be filled with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the little statue that we have up here is what Our Lady of America, one of her 12 apparitions in the United States through Sister Mary Ephraim, is the Our Lady, the Divine Indwelling. So there's many, many things that are happening, many, many things that are going to happen. We have to remember what Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947. 72 years ago, she said to Bruno, "Time has now come to an end." It's not the end of the world, it's the end of the era of Lucifer. The 100 years, remember the 100 years to Pope Leo XIII that he heard the devil say, "Give me 100 years to destroy your church." And Jesus says, "You can have it." Why did Jesus do that? Because the kingdom is coming. The Lord knows the kingdom is coming. It's the fulfillment of the Our Father. "May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." So he says to the devil, "You want 100 years? It's yours." When the 1,000-year reign, and that's kind of funny when you hear the 1,000-year reign, that's only one day. A day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. That's just the first day of the kingdom of God, where we will be returned to the Father, the womb of the Father. We will be filled with the Holy Spirit. We will have the same spiritual DNA of the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary. How does this happen? It's happening because of Louisa, the little newborn. This gift was given to her. And when we recognize Louisa, and this is so important, just the other day, Jesus brought, he says, "Who's the greatest of the kingdom?" And he says, they bring up a little child, and he says, "The one who is like this child will enter the kingdom of God." That's Louisa. Louisa is the little child. Louisa has that life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. And now God wants us to begin to live this life. And this life of Jesus, this life of Mary, is filled with peace, joy, and happiness. There's no worry, there's no fear, there's no anxiety, there's no complaints, there's no negativity, there's no sin. Now, no, none of us are there yet, but that's the life God is calling us to. And the first thing he teaches us is to say fiat, Our Lady's fiat. When the angel said, "You will be the mother of God," she says, "How can this be? I don't know man. I want to please God in all things, but I don't know how this is going to happen." And the angel said, "It will be through the power of the Holy Spirit." And she said, "Fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say." It's similar today. God says, "I want you to share in my divinity." This is what the priest puts the drop of water into the chalice every day at Holy Mass. He says, "May we share in divinity as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity." How can this be? It's the same thing. Jesus says, "You must be perfected as your Heavenly Father is perfect." That's based on love. How can this be? Jesus says, "You'll do far greater things than I. You're the Son of God. How can this be?" Jesus is going to show us that this new way of living begins now for anyone who wants it. Remember what happened in the Old Testament. Jesus shows up. And Jesus says, "I am the Son of God. My mother is the mother of God." Basically, this is what he's saying. He's saying, "I have now the keys given to the vicar, the Pope, the vicar of Christ on earth. I'm going to give you the sacraments that's going to help you get through this life. Well, Jesus, and that just confused the Jews. What Jesus is telling us now is more than that. What Jesus is telling us now is he's saying, I want you to go to Louisa. I want you to begin to live a life that I originally planned. See, when God breathed into the dust, what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. We say Adam. It's like, oh, it was a human came out. No! The image and likeness of God came out of that dust. So what do we do when we pray the Our Father? May your kingdom come on earth, this dust. May your kingdom of God reign in me on earth as the saints possess you in heaven. Jesus says to Louisa, this is being fulfilled. Louisa, you are the firstborn. Louisa, you are the newborn of this great gift. Well, why didn't anybody talk about it? It's a secret. It's hidden. Let's look at Bethlehem. Who showed up at Bethlehem? A few wise men and a few shepherds, period. No priests, no religious. What happens when Jesus, at the Last Supper, transubstantiated himself? This is my body. Who showed up? 12 guys. What happened when Jesus died on the cross? 5 people showed up. What happened when Jesus rose from the dead? Nobody was there. What happened when Jesus ascended into heaven? 120 people. See, what God loves, he keeps hidden. It's so important to Jesus that he does not want to hear their rejection. And that's what happens when let's look at the biggest secret we have in the Catholic Church. Jesus Christ is present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist. The churches are empty. What did John Paul II say? Saint Pope John Paul II say, I want Eucharistic adoration in every parish. You might find a parish here, a parish there. The greatest secret, Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity is there in every Catholic church. Our Lady, look at the secret there. She says 3 things. I want you to wear the scapular. I want you to pray the rosary. I want you to attend First Saturdays. It's a secret. Nobody knows it. See, God gives it to those. Remember, he says, those who seek will find. Those who knock, the door will be open. You have to understand, Jesus is saying to us, I want to give you everything. And so what happens is, now, as everything seems to be falling apart, God is saying, get ready. Why is it falling apart? It's falling apart because the kingdom is coming for those few that have found the narrow way. Not the wide road that leads to hell, but the few who follow the narrow road. This is the road of Jesus and Mary. This is the road that Louisa followed. And now God wants to give us this gift. So when you look at volume 1, right at the beginning, so Jesus in the sacrament reminds us of the resurrection of our bodies to glory, just as Jesus, when his sacramental state ceases, resides in the womb of God, his Father. The same for us. Listen to this. When our life ceases, our souls go and make their dwelling in heaven, in the womb of God, while our bodies are consumed. So Jesus is saying to us, I want you to begin to live this life one with God. Begin now. He says to Louisa, when I rose from the dead, it wasn't to tell people when you die, you will rise. Not only that, he says, I want you to rise from the dead now. I want you to live a peaceful, joyful, happy life now. Jesus said to Louisa, when you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, when you're sinning, you are anticipating hell. When you're peaceful, when you're joyful, when you're happy, you are anticipating heaven. He says, begin to live this life, not after you die. If you wait to have this life after you die, you're going to be in purgatory for a very, very long time. If you begin to live this life, this is what Jesus says, there's no purgatory. How can there be no purgatory? Jesus says, I can't judge myself. I will be reigning in you. I will be breathing in your breathing, beating in your heart beating, gazing in your gazing, listening in your listening, walking in your walking. I will be there. You will be my skin. What happens when that happens? The families are filled with peace. Why? Jesus is there. Jesus is listening to one another. Jesus is gazing with love at one another. Do you see how this is going to happen? God says it has to begin now because the kingdom is coming. He says this is your ticket for heaven. Peaceful, joyful, happy. Oh, but Father, you don't understand. You don't understand. I've got to worry about this. I've got to worry about that. No, Jesus says to the apostles, does worry add one moment to your life? And he says, of course it doesn't. Then he says, then stop worrying. Oh, you don't understand. You don't understand. No, you don't understand. Stop worrying. Remember the lady that was healed 18 years? She touched the tassel, the hem of the tillit that Jesus was wearing, the prayer shawl. The four corners are called the hem. And Jesus turned around and said, Who touched me? He knew who touched him. He wanted to hear from her, why did you touch me? In Leviticus it says, the hem of the Messiah will heal you. He wanted to hear her say, you are the Messiah. Who recognizes Jesus? You are my Lord, you're my Master, you're my King, you're my Savior, you're my God, you're my all. Who says this? He turned to her and he says, because of your faith, you are healed. This is every prayer that we pray. Jesus is there. It's his prayer. And he's waiting for us to respond to him. You have to begin, as right from here, from volume one, when our lives cease, our souls go and make the dwelling in heaven, in the womb of God, while our bodies are consumed. That's now. See, remember Jesus says, those who save their lives will lose it. Those who lose their lives for my sake, save it. It's not after you die. It's to die to your ego and your will. What's your ego and your will? What do you say when you go to confession? Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I'm sorry. I don't want to live like this. This is what Jesus is waiting for, that we recognize our human will is what we say in confession, and that has to end. What has to begin is the life of peace, joy, and happiness. What has to begin is the life of God reigning in us. This is what God is waiting for. This is what God is asking us to begin to do. So let's listen to volume one again. Listen to me. In the womb of my celestial Father, I, Jesus, was fully happy. There was no good which I did not possess. There was no joy, no happiness. Everything was in the will of God. I did not possess worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. I possessed everything, joy and happiness. Everything was at my disposal. The angels adored me reverently, hanging on my every wish. God is asking us to return with Jesus, to begin to live the life of Jesus. Peace, joy, and happiness. He says, there was nothing that I did not possess. I possessed all joy. I possessed all happiness. Volume 5, 324, 1903. Now, while I was being consumed with pains, this is Louisa, while Jesus came back like a flash with sonorous and serious voice, he told me, who are you to expect to be always with me? Now, Jesus, that sounds harsh. Who are you that you think you're going to be with me? And Louisa says, I was insane. As I was, I all daring, I answered, I am everything while being with you. I feel I am nothing but a will that came out from the womb of my Creator. And as long as this will is united with you, Jesus, it feels life. It feels existence. It feels peace. all of its good. Without you, Jesus, I feel it without life. I feel I am being destroyed. I feel dispersed, restless. I can say that I experience all evils. That's our human will. And in order to have life, and so that I may not be dispersed, this will came out from you, Lord Jesus, looks for your womb, it's your center, and there it wants to remain forever. That's what Jesus wants to hear from us. Who do you think you are? We are children of God. We are sons and daughters of God. Do we recognize that? Jesus says to us, I want you to possess everything that I want, that I have, that I am. What do you want? And we have to respond, I want everything from you. You, Lord. And this is where the peace, the joy, the happiness comes from. This intimacy with Jesus. It's not just to have a personal relationship with Jesus. It's to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. This is why we begin with a mystical marriage. We wear the ring. Why? To remember that we are married to Christ. Now, only the greatest saints in the history of the world, history of the church, had the mystical marriage. And we are very far from that. But Louisa possesses it. This is what God gave to her. If Louisa possesses it, and we're one with Louisa, we also possess it. We have to begin to remember that we are married to Christ. God came to earth looking for a bride. And he will marry us collectively, but he will also marry us individually. And that's what he's planned. That's what he wants. He wants us to begin to live this abundant life. This mystical marriage is ours. And that's why, that's how we start. And then from that, he keeps on leading us, guiding us, directing us. We want to do what Jesus does. Return to the womb of the Father. We want to be so one with God. So this intimacy, so one with God, that nothing will bother us. The situations that used to bother us, what happens? It's fiat. Lord, you want this? So be it. God is in charge. Everybody's going to be pulling their hair out of what's coming. They're going to be screaming. They're going to be terrorized. And we're just going to be going, fiat. Why? We trust God completely. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be overly concerned for. It's fiat. Let it be done to me as you say. Jesus says this, my daughter, in creation, I gave my image to the soul. This is what God wants us to remember. In the incarnation, I gave my divinity and divinized humanity. When you read 2 Peter, Peter says we are called to be divinized. It's not just being good and holy and saintly. That's what the saints had. It's to go beyond what the saints have had. How can that happen? Go to Louisa. He says, I gave my divinity, divinized humanity. See, humanity is perfect. When God created Adam, it was perfect. When God created the Blessed Mother, she was perfect. Why was she perfect? She did not do her human will. It's perfect. God is going to bring us back to that divinized humanity. Image and likeness. Now remember, Adam was, he lived the preternatural life of integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality. He lived the life that the saints could only dream of. And since the very act, in this very instant in which the divinity incarnated itself in humanity, it incarnated itself in the cross, in such a way that from the moment I was conceived united with the cross. And it can be said that just as my cross was united with me in the incarnation, which I did in the womb of my mother, he says, so does my cross, as many other incarnations of mine in the wombs of souls. So the cross is our our glory. It's, well, the cross is the glory of God. It's the love of God. This is why we have crucifixes all around. We have a crucifix. We greet people at our houses with crucifixes outside the house and inside the house. We have holy water fonts inside the house and outside the house. Why? You know, Vatican II said this is the parish. The husband is the priest. The mother is the heart of the love of the family. And then the children grow in this Catholic life. This is the universal life that Adam had. So what does Jesus, when Jesus comes to the earth, when Mary comes to the earth, what happens? They bring about the Catholic life again. This is what we live. This is why the peace, the joy, the happiness is there. Why Jesus is there. We have exercise salt, exercise water. We're going to have some exercise water up here. If you have any bottles, you know, you can fill it with the exercise salt. St. Teresa says when you use exercise salt and exercise water, the demons flee and they don't come back. They might send in reinforcements, but those guys can't come back. You have to understand the power that God gave to his church. And then when you fill up a bottle, if you go down to 49%, not 50, but it's got to be more than 50%, you can always fill the bottle back up. And the blessing always stays with you. So every home can have exercise water forever if they wish, with the blessing. See, demons, when they flee, they go to persons, places, or things. And because they're living dead. They scream because they're living dead. Don't get caught up in them. But be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. This is what God has given to his church, the sacraments and sacramentals. It's very, very important that we do this. With this here, he says that Jesus says, in the womb of, see, he says, we were all conceived with Jesus in the womb of Mary. Mary is our true mother. Not only at the cross when Jesus says to John, this is your mother. But Jesus shows Louisa that she was conceived, and we were conceived with Jesus in the womb of Mary. Remember Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you, Lucifer, and the woman, between your seed, your children, and hers. There are bad people out there. And what we have to do is recognize that. It's not that you condemn anyone, but you avoid persons, places, or things that where God is not there. You avoid those places. I mean, that's television. When you think of television, you think of Psalm 100. Psalm 100 says, the fornicator, the thief, the liar, the deceiver, don't let them in your house. That's what television, that's what movies do. Remember the Titanic? What a glorious movie. Every commandment was broken. And they celebrated it. And now, we have to be Catholic. We have to say no more. We're not going to participate in the pagan culture any longer. We're not going to participate in it. Well, you're going to be all alone. Good. I'd rather be alone than participating with pagans. It's not, you're not condemning them. You're just saying, I don't want this. I want to be one with Jesus. I want to be one with Mary. I want to be one with Louisa. This is what Jesus is showing us. He says very, very clearly. He says, and just as the cross forms my incarnation in souls, the cross is the incarnation of the soul in God. All of us are suffering, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. All of us are, to a greater or lesser degree, to the person next to us. What does that mean? We can drag our cross behind us complaining. Oh, I've got to go through this. I've got to do that. Or we can say, I want to embrace it as Jesus embraced his cross. Remember that one part in Mel Gibson's movie? When Jesus embraces his cross, he got that from Louisa. That's what Jesus shows Louisa in the Passion of the Cross, the 24 Hours of the Passion. He, Jesus, embraced the cross, kissed the cross. Do we thank God for our crosses? If we haven't, something is wrong. See, we are wild, like wild animals. And God has to tame us. And He tames us through our sufferings. And a lot of times, we think we're pretty good. I mean, a lot of times when I hear a confession, people say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." I've been really good. I went, "You're here to confess your sins. Let me get down and adore you. You're really good." No, it's to go draw closer to Jesus. And see, when you're sifting, a lot of people don't understand confession. When you sift, when you go to confession, it's like sifting dirt. You might not have the large boulders, but you have 100 smaller stones. Then you have 1,000 smaller stones. And see, Jesus wants us to be pure dirt. And we have to go through our life like a fine-tooth comb to get rid of the boulders, of course, the mortal sins. But then even our human inadequacies. "Well, this is me. This is who I am." No, what are you, an idiot? Jesus has called you to be a reflection of Him. Jesus doesn't have this. See, we're very lenient on ourselves. Mortification, Jesus says to Louisa, is the eyes of the soul. Do we mortify ourselves every day? Have we learned how to do that? You know, well, you don't understand, Father. I'm big boned. You know, my sister says that to me all the time. I said, I don't see many big boned people in Auschwitz. And she goes, "That's a good one." Yeah, it's mortify yourself. Mortification is very, very important. There's one priest, I've mentioned it before, one priest that I knew. He was very, very thin, and I was having dinner with him. And I said, "Father, have another helping." And he goes, "Look at me. Why do you think I look like this?" I said, "You don't eat?" He goes, "Yeah." It's mortification. He says, "I'm getting ready for heaven." See, this is what we have to begin to do. Mortify yourself with your voice. "I have to respond." No, you don't. Jesus was silent when they accused him. Mary was silent when they accused her. Everybody in town knew she wasn't with Joseph, and they knew that she was pregnant. Why? She was wearing the clothing of a pregnant woman. Everybody knew it. And they knew she wasn't around Joseph. She ignored their accusations. Well, later on, when the chief priests, when Jesus says, "Your father is the devil. If you listened to Moses, you would know who I am." And they said, "We're no illegitimate breed like you, Jesus." They threw that in his face 30 years later. "We're no illegitimate breed like you." He was silent. You see, well, he said, "So you know my origins, huh?" What God wants is He wants us to draw closer to Him. And this is what He's saying. "My incarnation in souls, the cross that I have given each and every one of you, were through a physical, spiritual, mental, emotional sufferings, is the incarnation of the soul in God, destroying in her everything that gives of nature and filling her with divinity so much as to form a sort of incarnation, God in the soul and the soul in God." This intimacy is what God is asking of us. If you're complaining, it's because you have not looked at Christ crucified enough. If you're complaining, you haven't spent any time with our Eucharistic Lord. Spend time with Him. Don't go into adoration reading a book. I'm going to read a novel now. It's like going to your grandmother's. Walk in and say, "Hi, how you doing?" Just sit down and read for an hour. Goodbye. After the hour's done, I'll see you later. No, we enter into communion with God, adoring Him and loving Him and praising Him and thanking Him and blessing Him and worshiping Him. It's very, very important that we do this. St. Teresa says this is the only time that you can really love God freely He says, when you go to heaven, you're going to see God. And you're going to fall on your face, adoring Him and loving Him and praising Him. You're going to see how holy, how perfect, how loving this great God is. You will not want to get up. Why? He is so holy. He is so good. So our free time is now to love God. And what happens is when we spend time in front of our Eucharistic Lord, our time in purgatory is shortened and our place in heaven is higher. It's all based on love. Not reading a book. Not wasting an hour. But falling in love with Jesus. Volume 6, 5505. That's a great number. My daughter, everything that came out from within a person is called a birth. And this birth becomes a child of the one who delivers of it. Now, this daughter of mine, Luisa, is grace which coming out of me communicates herself to all the souls who want to receive her, Luisa, and transmutes them into as many other children of mine. We talked about being a child of Mary. We are also a child of Luisa. Okay? That's not taking anything away from the Blessed Mother. You have Mother Angelica, you have Mother Teresa, you have Mother Gabriel. Luisa is the little mother of the little children of the Holy Divine Will. And you can go to her. This is what Jesus says. Do not sever yourself from the womb of Luisa. You know, a lot of us, they say, cut the cord of your mother, you know, be free. Jesus says, don't cut the cord of your mother. You're going to get everything of Jesus and Mary through Luisa. This is very, very important for us to understand. It says, and all the souls who want to receive Luisa, Luisa is transmuted into them as many other children of Jesus's, of Mary's. We want to be a true child of Jesus. We want to be a true child of Mary. Not only this, but everything good and virtuous that can come out of these second children, that's us, become the children of grace. Do you see what God is doing? He's asking us, are you willing to become a child of grace? Are you willing? And if we say yes, then he says, go to Luisa. I'll show you how this is done. The way I brought up Luisa, I will bring you up. Now, that doesn't mean we have to be in bed for 64 years without eating, drinking, or sleeping. But as you read, Jesus is speaking to you. The Archbishop, Archbishop Cassati, during the ordination, the beginning of the Causa Luisa in 1994, told us that the souls who enter into this gift with Luisa are interdimensionally. Yeah, it's going to be an interdimensional change in you. What does that mean? This is an archbishop saying, what's going to happen to you is going to change your life completely. You're not going to be the same. Now, Archbishop Cassati worked in the secret, he worked in the Sacred Congregation of the Saints. His first assignment as archbishop in a parish, in a diocese, was Trani. The very first thing he did when he came in was he began the process of focusing on Luisa. Why? Luisa la Santa, they would call her. Luisa the Saint. And he goes, who is this person? The one of the bishops said to the priest, no priest is allowed to go to see Luisa. Because he said, I don't know what this is about. And then he had a stroke. 2 weeks later, he hobbles over to Luisa's house. He goes up the stairs. They escort him up the stairs, and he gets in. And Luisa says, "Your Archbishop, give me your blessing." And he raises the hand that's been paralyzed and blesses her. And then he says, "Anybody who wants to go to Luisa's house can." Luisa is the become children of grace. Wait till you begin to experience the grace that's going to come to you. And this is from a human who Jesus says takes the place of Adam. He says to Luisa, when Adam's daughter, his offspring, Eve, took this away from Adam, he says, I brought you, Louisa, my little daughter, to give you this gift so that you, Louisa, will give it back to the man. Who is the man? It's the guy with the keys to the kingdom. As the Pope receives this gift, he will open the door. Jesus says, you, Louisa, must be the key that the Holy Father will use to open the door of the kingdom of heaven to all the world. And every, he says, Jew, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, Protestant, everyone will want the universal life, the Catholic life. They'll want to be baptized because they're going to see what Jesus did to Louisa. Great things are in store. Great things are going to happen. And Jesus is saying to us, I want you to become a child of grace. I want you to work with Louisa to bring this kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. How do you do it? By being peaceful, joyful, and happy. By beginning to live heaven on earth. No worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. Begin to live this life. Now, no one possesses it fully but Louisa. Why? Because you, to have this life, you have to be in God's image and likeness. And I don't know anybody that doesn't go to confession. Blessed be Father, for I have sinned. Louisa went to confession. But when she died, when her body died, this is something that's so beautiful. Her heart stopped beating. She stopped breathing. But for 4 days, the blood was circulating in her system. Her eyes did not dilate. Her eyes were normal. There was no rigor mortis. And the doctors didn't know what this was. What does this mean? It took them 4 days to say that she was dead. Think about this. She was living as she was dead. What's going to happen with what God has got planned? He says that unheard of prodigies are going to occur. This is what God's got planned. So he says, are you willing to become the second children of the little children of the Holy Divine Will? Are you willing to become children of grace? See now what a long generation of children grace forms for Louisa. If only they received Louisa. But how many reject Louisa? My daughter comes back into my womb alone and childless. So Jesus is saying to us, learn this gift, enter this gift, and watch what I will do. This is what he has planned. Volume 10, 2, 8, 19, 11. The Love Song of Louisa. I'd like someone to put this to music. Okay, she sang this. I don't know what it sounded like. Jesus will give you the words. Jesus will give you the melody. He'll give you what he has planned. But this would be a beautiful prayer. And whatever melody God gives you, and there could be thousands of melodies, it's going to be beautiful. Love invites me. Love is my life. Love kidnaps my heart deep into the womb of my Lord. With love, Jesus inebriates me. With love, Jesus delights me. I, all alone and only for you, Jesus. And you alone, only for me. This is one of the things that we pray when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament. If you can't think of anything, ask Jesus, can I have a melody to this? Holy Spirit, give me a melody. Let me sing this to you. Go to volume 10. And there's two songs.